NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
And Jason Hildebrand.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We're going to break down this past week's race at Richmond. Michigan.
Where are we going? What are you doing?
I know. We will hear from the winner, Kyle Larson. Later in the show, we'll discuss the upcoming race at Sonoma. And as always, share with you our power rankings, picks to win. We got all that and much, much more on today's show. It's Racing Talk Radio, cooled by Owosse Chase Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. To my radio left, Mr. Jason Hildebrand. Across the table, keeping us on the air as always, the ugly mug of Mr. Scott Webb. How's it going today, guys?
Going good for a Wednesday.
Yeah, that's all I got. It's been a busy week for me. It's been a busy week for me, so that's all I got for you today. Yep.
Yeah.
One-word answers.
Yep.
That's all you're getting.
That's what you're getting today?
That's what you're getting.
More, no less.
Yet, I continue to keep talking.
You bought a new car, and it is a?
It is a
Ford. Blue oval.
Yeah, blue oval.
Two blue ovals.
Two, yeah. Let's not talk about that. Get all sad again.
At least you used the right bank, so that is good. All right, so we had a big race this past weekend at Michigan, the two-mile-long racetrack up in you know, the one thing I want to say about this, Scott, is listen, I never
talk to me, Goose.
I've heard of trash and you know, people being from the South and trash, but never did I think up in Michigan there would be so much
pure
trash.
Hey, pure, was it the Pure Michigan 400 this time around?
It sure wasn't the Pure
Michigan.
No, it wasn't the Pure. It was some fire or something.
Oh yeah, Fire Keepers Casino 400. Yeah. They'll do the Pure Michigan 400 in like 4 weeks whenever they come back. Followed up right before the Pocono
second
for
round.
The second Pocono race. Yeah. So that's how that rolls.
It was very trashy up there though. That's one of the things, and even a cowboy hat, which I thought was kind of amusing. Yeah. We see a lot of different when we go to Bristol. We see a lot of different forms of people and what they wear.
I heard it was a rowdy. Yeah, I heard it was a rowdy infield up there, which is you get in the Irish Hills of Michigan there. About I don't know, it's about an hour outside Detroit. It can they can get a little. Let's just put it this way: they enjoyed themselves.
They did.
They had a good time.
Maybe the infield was full, but it didn't look like the seats were that full. I couldn't really tell.
No, and you look and really outside of Talladega this year, you know, I've looked and. Week in and week out, it seems like the attendance is very disappointing at the tracks. You know, I don't know if viewership down just overall, the television and at the track, but I mean, I think NASCAR is struggling at this point.
Almost, you know, there's a couple of tracks, and you mentioned Talladega. I know you were there, and it was pretty full. But I've been surprised at a couple of different tracks that there's been a lot more people there. Maybe not your normal run-of-the-mill tracks like Alabama. Gosh, I can't talk.
Wow, what are you
doing? Atlanta. That's what I get for rolling in here on two wheels.
They had a decent crowd this year. And I think part of the Atlanta reason was they had great weather that weekend, too.
Right.
Which is going to be a factor moving forward for Atlanta.
I'm sure we'll see a lot of people out at Sonoma this coming week as the Californians love to watch some road course racing, and that's what we're going to get.
California is another track that had a good crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Some of those tracks that are not the typical track that we go to, the mile and a half, has a lot of people. California has always been pretty good about producing a lot of people out there. Speaking of, we had a lot of fast cars at Michigan this past weekend. Chase Elliott, one of the things I put in their show notes is it's kind of like he now, other than Johnson, which hasn't really ran consistent, I don't think. I mean, he's won three races.
Whoa, wait a second.
You were pumping this guy up.
Wait a second. You were walking in here, boom, confetti 2 weeks ago after he went in. And then now you're going to toot that Chase Elliott is carrying Hendricks on his shoulders right now?
Does my power change or power ranking change week after week?
I was just looking to see that.
They do change, right? So does my opinion of Jimmy Johnson.
It's week to week.
To this point is that when he runs good, he's really good. When he runs bad, he's not good at all. But Chase Elliott has kind of been on a little bit of a down streak, but really quietly has done that. And I think that's what he wants. You think about his dad never really talked a lot or anything like that. He just went out and ran.
You'd be waiting 10 minutes for him to complete one sentence you know, when he did talk. But, no, you know, Chase, you look at him this year and really started off on a tear, and almost like a Kyle Larson-ish. I mean, he was finishing that good, up top fives every single week. Kind of had a little slump there where he wasn't performing as consistently. But, you know, the kid's going to go out there and he's going to win some races. I'm just waiting. It's just a matter of time before he puts a whole 400-mile race together. But he looked good on the track, really fast out there.
Second year. I mean, that's the thing you got to think about.
That was exactly where I was going. You got to remember that the guy that won this race that we're going to spend some time talking about here in just a few minutes, he didn't win his race until late in his second year. The wins are coming for Chase Elliott. They're going to keep putting themselves in position time after time. You see that trajectory for his career is just going to continue to grow.
Another driver that I'm thinking there's a conspiracy against, and maybe because it's my guy, you know, had some caramel M&Ms earlier today, but Kyle Busch, the guy keeps doing everything except, and normally we would, if you wanted to call somebody the closer, you know, other than Kevin Harvick, it would be Kyle Busch. If he's up front on a late race restart, it's a good chance he's going to get out front and he's going to take off. And he hadn't been able to close out races this year. He's been there. Luck's been part of the issue. But he just got flat beat on Sunday.
Yeah, I didn't think he had the best car out there. You saw the 42. You saw the 78. I thought those guys were much better out there. You know, and you saw him drift back. I mean, it wasn't like Larson was passing him, and everybody started passing him. You know, he wasn't the best out there.
Yeah, and the other person that's won a lot of stage wins, Scott, and Martin Truex Jr., he's got 10 on the year. So he's won 10 stages, just only completed 2 race wins. But Martin Truex Jr., another guy that could do – if he finished races, where would he be right now? We'd be number one, and we'd be talking about a Martin Truex possible championship.
Well, I first of all, I don't think we're not talking about a Martin Truex possible championship because they're definitely going to be involved in the mix. He does have 10 stage wins. You know, he's had a couple good races, and we see this from time to time in this sport, more often than not, really, where you can have a dominant car, but do you have a dominant car at the end of the race? He has been as good as anybody at the end of these races. Usually his competition is the one that's changing. He's the consistent one. And Jimmy Johnson, at Dover, there was a couple of the last few tracks. I mean, he's been around. He was there at the end at Charlotte. So they're the consistent one of putting themselves in position. He was the points leader up until the last couple of weeks. But he's putting himself in position. That's all you can ask. This sport, it's hard to win week in and week out. And it's what you're looking for is opportunities. And they're giving themselves the best opportunity week in and week out.
And if you look at it, and this is kind of the amazing thing at this point of the race season. You look at number one, Kyle Larson and Martin Truex Jr. in the point standings right now. I know we'll cover that later, but there's 5 point separation between there. You look from second to third, though, there's 125.
What you're saying is there's a bit of separation between who's running at the top and who's not. Surprisingly, one of those guys just got snuck back into somebody's power rankings this week.
Yeah, those guys are really the crop.
Well, let me talk about this for a second because this is something that we have yet to talk about at this point in the season, but it's going to get more and more important. Scroll on over if you're on NASCAR.com, who we pull these standings from every week. Scroll on over and look at the playoff points. You've got Kyle Larson, who has 13 playoff points. He's got 2 wins, but you look right underneath at Martin Truex. These playoff points are going to play a big role when we get into the playoffs as far as seeding and stuff like that. Martin Truex is sitting there with 20. You drop on down, you've got Brad Keselowski, who's sitting 6th in the points, but has 12 playoff points, and then Jimmy Johnson, of course, 15. This going forward, and Martin Truex, you see the difference in the stage wins. It's really important for these guys to get these stage wins and get these points, especially the ones that have the multiple wins.
Yeah, because those points don't lose those points. I mean, they carry on with them.
Right. So, the way that's going to work is at the end of each segment of the playoffs, you reset the points. But those playoff points that you accumulate travel with you all the way to Homestead. So what you're doing is you're banking points right now that are going to be able you're going to be able to use all the way to Homestead. So
and that'll come into play.
It will come into play at some point in time. You know, winning is still the most important thing, but getting those stage wins, getting those stage points are also very beneficial.
And if you look at this week, especially coming up on a road course, we usually don't have, well, sometimes we have a regular that would normally win, that would win that, say, a Kyle Busch or Brad Keselowski. But a lot of times there could be an A.J. Allmendinger, there could be a Clint Bowyer, somebody that gets a win. And as we talked about last week with, you know, having how many winners are we going to have this year, different winners are we going to have this year, and how important is that going to be for the guys that just have one win?
I'm saying you're going to have over 16.
I think it's definitely going to be in the it could definitely be in the 14-15 range. So it's about winning races. So this race is one of those key races. You got Daytona coming up in a few weeks. That's in 2 weeks, actually. You got that coming up. So that's going to be a big important race, because that's another one of those wild card races that anybody can win. So we really have back to back weeks here where we could really, really start to constrict the amount of people that are going to be able to point their way into the championship. So some of these guys like Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott and some of they're going to have to find a way to start winning races. Pointing racing and having good finishes may not be enough, and that is going to be one of the things to keep an eye on over the course of the next 6, 7, 8 weeks.
And one of those guys is Joey Logano, and Sunday had a good run. One of the things I think about Joey Logano is the fact that, number one, he made a big announcement after the race, which is good for him and his wife that they are expecting a child, but he gets a third-place finish on Sunday. This has been a driver that throughout the past 2 or 3 years that's been extremely hot throughout the year, winning races, winning multiple races. He's only got one at this point, been in kind of a slump. It's somebody that Penske really needs to come up there and run so that they can keep him and Keselowski in the points.
Yeah, I want to say, after the race was over, they were interviewing Logano, and I think he said it's the first top 20 finish in, 5 weeks that they've had. So they've been in a serious slump since they got their win, you know, stripped from them for basically cheating out there.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go as far as cheating, Jason, but yeah, you know,
just because he's a Ford driver.
Yeah, because he's a Ford driver. Yeah, I'm proudly supporting the blue oval now.
Okay, because he was pushing the envelope.
Yeah,
okay.
He pushed the envelope a little too far.
Not blatantly.
Yeah, obviously important. They started out the year like gangbusters. Now Brett Keselowski has been a little more consistent. I know he had some poor finishes, but those were not to any of those weren't his fault at all. So it was important to see that team start to build a little momentum as we start to progress to the second half of the season, as we're getting real close to the halfway point. Hard to believe, but we're almost halfway through this thing.
Halfway through this thing, and I think Danica Patrick has probably been involved in a wreck in every race all the way up to this point.
I think so.
Or it just seems that way, for sure.
Right. Other than the trash on Sunday, we did have some trash in the car. In the number 10 car that just called her trash. That was good, wasn't it?
Oh,
Jason's pretty
thanks.
Upset about that.
No.
It's his driver. Big wreck at the end. First, let me say, other than trash, we didn't have a lot of cautions on Sunday.
Listen, to talk about that, we did mention that last week on the show, that this is one of those tracks that, because of the width, the amount of lanes that are available, that it can tend to get the field all spread out. And unfortunately for race fans, that's exactly what we saw.
Yeah, exactly what we saw. So one of the things that happened on a restart later on in the race is you had Ryan Blaney, who was running really well. Cool paint scheme, too, for the Wood Brothers. But running really well. Looked like he got loose in the corner. Kind of ganged everybody up back in the back. And Danica, as Jason said before the show, has many times been at the wrong place at the wrong time. Got stuck there, hit down at the bottom. She didn't seem too upset about it this time. Maybe she's trying to fix the PR move from a couple of weeks ago. But still, every race, it seems like, and it doesn't help her chances, Jason, with the fact that she needs sponsorship at the end of the year.
Yeah, she doesn't go out there and get in fender benders on the track. I mean, that thing's ruined every single time she gets in a wreck.
She is. She's real good at totaling some cars.
You don't, like I said, she don't scrape the wall, buddy. She
gets her money's worth.
That was definitely good. Well, and actually, that really, I think, put the nail in the coffin for everybody as far as Kyle Larson goes. And we'll talk about him when we come back. All right, we'll talk about that. We're going to talk a little news and notes, Bubba Wallace news, along with some awesome Bill from Dawsonville news that I put in this week. Don't ask me where I got it. I think it just ran across my Twitter feed. It did run across my Twitter feed because Scott's not doing the Google Twitter stuff anymore. So
we're getting ready to crank that up again, man. I know you miss it on Tuesday nights.
Hashtag unfollow is what we'll go with. So
that could be possible.
We'll be right back after this.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from Michigan International Speedway, the Firekeepers Casino 400.
Kyle Larson is long gone. He is dominating this field.
The drag race begins three quarters of the way down the back straightaway. Truex, your new leader.
Martin Truex has scored his ninth stage win of the year.
Matt Kenseth slid through his pit box. A mistake by Matt Kenseth. He slid through the pit box. Had to drop it in reverse.
Now Larson's under attack from Kyle Busch for a second.
Martin Truex Jr., he wins stage two.
Here comes Larson to the bottom. He does what Rusty says. He shoves Busch out of the lane. Kyle Larson to the lead on the back straightaway. We got a car in the wall. Clint Boyer slides up the banking. Pounds the outside wall in the middle of turn number two. Trouble back straightaway. One car.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, Racing Talk Radio, cooled by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, breaking down Michigan. And you heard it the first of that little segment we had there is Kyle Larson is long gone. It seems like we're hearing that a lot more this year. You know, it was one of those things, guys, where a couple years ago we were talking when he first really come on the scene, and you saw it in the truck race at Eldora, where he didn't care to hang it out how wide the
first
go.
Listen, the very first truck race they had at Eldora, he that's when I became a Kyle Larson fan, to watch him drive that car up and down that track anywhere he could, the way he hung that thing out up against the wall, down low, in the middle of the track. I became a fan that night. And then what cemented it forever, I'll always be a fan, was the restart at California. I think it was his rookie year, where he passed about seven cars on the restart at California. Ended up finishing second to Kyle Busch, but it was one of the most impressive things I ever seen. The guy has tons of talent. Seems like a great guy, very personable. He's going to be a big star in this sport, or bigger than he already is.
Is that the Eldora race we're talking about that had a late restart and he was banging against Newman?
Oh, yeah.
His truck was wasted.
Yeah. I mean, there was nothing.
Oh, that was great.
And the California one of my favorite race you were alluding to. I mean, he's riding up against the wall, just banging it off the wall, doing everything he could to win. So, really gutsy driver. I like the way he drives out there.
I do, too. And I think we always kind of thought that if he had some good equipment underneath him that would happen. And I believe with, you know, SHR going to Ford, it's kind of opened
up
the gateway.
You're convinced that that's the absolute truth.
I know that's what it is. They've mentioned that's what it is they're getting more stuff and more partnership with Hendrick now than they have in the past, and it's evident. I mean, if you look over the last couple of years, they've not run as good. I'm talking about they being both cars have not run as good and consistent.
Not in a consistent manner that they're running, because when you look at both those cars, you know, I was just going to look real quick. McMurray's seventh in the points, and that's with a bad accident at Pocono last week, where he finished like 37th or whatever. So, yeah, both cars are very consistent in what they're doing.
I mean, you've got 1 and 7. And, you know, we talked a couple of years ago. I mean, Jamie McMurray's trying to beat a flailing Dale Earnhardt Jr. at Dover to get into the chase or to go on to the next, you know, round or whatever. So I think now these two cars are here. It's kind of an extension of Hendrick Motorsports. So they're definitely somebody to watch. And if you have looked at my power rankings, which you can't see, but I'm going to tell you, there might be another Ganassi car that
could be another Ganassi car in
this year. So, all right, for Kyle Larson, that's his second win and first win at Michigan. Let's hear from Kyle Larson.
Then Ryan gave me a heck of a push on the bottom lane there to shove me out in front of Kyle, which was huge. You know, Kyle is so good at restarts, and I was looking in my mirror. I could see that Chase wasn't to his back bumper, and I was just hoping we could build some momentum, Ryan and I, to get the run we needed to basically play chicken getting into three, and we were able to hold it wide open longer than Kyle and squeeze in front of him. And then they started crashing, and you know, I knew the top lane would be the best place to restart, and I liked who I saw in my mirror. I can't remember really who it was. I think the 22 was in my mirror the last time. But the Penske cars take off so good on.
Yeah, and Penske cars do take off really good, and the Penske cars, being the 21, gave him a good push to get him to that point. For Kyle Larson, I think this is kind of the starting point of his career, if you want to look at it. This is a chance for him to really make a name for himself. You get two wins. You got to say that he's going to be the favorite coming back to Michigan. He's also got, they've also got a really good super speedway program. I saw or heard on, I don't remember what radio station, so I can't plug it, Scott, like, you know, whatever that one you used to listen to with Dale Earnhardt Jr. The Dirty Mo.
It's Dirty Mo Radio. Yeah. It's actually a podcast. It's not a radio station. Sorry. Just to get you up with it. You need to pay attention more on Tuesday nights when I'm doing the online technology training.
I probably should Google. But he did say that their mile and a half program he feels like is the best in the field at this point in time. So there's more chances for him to win races before the playoff starts. You got to think right now, and the obvious is he's number one in the points, but you got to think he's a favorite for the championship.
I absolutely is a favorite for the championship. I think he's it's the consistency they had a 2 or 3 week in this over the course of the season. Everybody has 2 or 3 weeks where you don't have quite the speed and do quite the things that you're accustomed to. I think it started back at Martinsville. He finished like 8th or 9th or something like that. But he could have literally won the first 3 or 4 races of the year. So he was either finishing 1st or 2nd. They've definitely got the two. They definitely have the 2 mile program down because. Sure. California and Michigan, they've been rock stars at those places. And we're going to see Michigan again here in just a few weeks. So the sky is the limit for them. You know, we knew the talent was there. You've talked about the equipment now being there. They don't make mistakes. They don't make a ton of mistakes on pit road. Really impressed with what they're able to do on a weekly basis.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, it should be interesting going forward. I'm just glad now it seems like, guys, that we have identified, and I got to be careful to say this because we may have not yet. You guys may disagree, but we've identified the...
Are you including me in this, we?
No, yeah.
Okay.
We've identified the next round of drivers for NASCAR with Blaney, with Larson, with Elliott, and then you can throw a couple of the older guys, which are not really old, and Keselowski, Logano.
But, I mean, you think you can go Suarez, too. I mean, yeah. I think it's going to come around for him. But also, you know, you're looking at the Eric Jones out there.
I mean. Right.
I mean, so, and there's some good young drivers. That you talk about William Byron in the trucks. You know, we've seen some guys have some success in the Xfinity
Wallace.
Cars. Bubba Wallace is another name that you could put in that mix. I'm not concerned about the health of the sport in terms of driver talent. I think it's there. The concern for the sport is can they find a way to re-energize the fan base and draw fans back into the sport? I think that's where the business side of things is where it gets a little sketchy because you've got to have good ratings so you can get good sponsorships. Sponsorships drive these teams. So those are where my concerns would be with the sport, not in terms of driver talent. I think there's enough talent. I know there's enough talent there. When these guys start to get seasoned up, we may have some of the best racing we've had in a long time.
I think it's just the unfamiliarity of some of the guys. You know, yeah. You're looking at, you know, these staples like your Dale Earnhardt Juniors, your Denny Hamlins, your Kyle and Kurt Busch and Jimmy Johnson. Once those guys leave, I mean, what's the sport going to look like? Sport's going to be fine, but like we talked first show of the year, you know, we were talking with Sean in here about Monster Energy. What are they going to bring to the table? That's their responsibility to get that the fan base energized somehow or another. I don't know.
Yeah, and
maybe
I think
with the girls and, you know, whatever.
Got to get rid of those girls, right? That's what I'm saying. Scott,
I know.
One more to answer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
say. Got no opinion on
that. I was waiting on that. All right, so one of the things I will say about that is, you know, when you think about this generation now that's getting ready to retire, you've got an Earnhardt, which is a familiar name in the history of NASCAR, and you still have that Elliott going forward with the championship and
Blaney. Jeffrey.
And Jeffrey Earnhardt, yeah. He'll be big. Yeah. All right, so you mentioned Bubba Wallace earlier. He was in for Michigan, and then the week before that, he is out for Sonoma. But just for one race, you've got road racer Billy Johnson that's coming in. Billy Johnson, he doesn't sound like a road racer, who's coming in. He competed in the 24 Hours of Le Mans. The name doesn't sound like it needs to go with the 24 Hours
Billy
of Le
Mans. Billy Johnson.
But he'll fill in for Wallace for Sonoma.
Church League and softball. Billy Johnson.
And will not be doing anything after that as Bubba Wallace will be coming back. That's a guy that I want to see do good from a big Tennessee Vol fan. I think he's from Knoxville or the Knoxville area.
From Alabama.
Well, but loves Tennessee.
I think his mom went to Tennessee. Yeah. I think his mom actually She ran track or did something. She was, I think she was an athlete at Tennessee.
Oh, really?
And I think that's where the old Tennessee connection is. Yeah, he's a big Vols fan now. He takes that stuff pretty seriously.
He will be.
Yeah,
back.
And I think he's important for the sport. Him, Daniel Suarez, diversity helps the sport and helps.
Sure.
You want to try to increase your fan base other than just the traditional type
good old
of
boys.
Yeah, the good old boys that you've tried to have. And I think the more success he has, the better it is for the sport. The more success Daniel Suarez has, the better it is for the sport, because you're going to start tapping into a different fan base, a different type of person than you would have if those guys weren't involved for the sport. So I think from that standpoint, it's terrific. And on top of that, they're talented. They're very talented at their craft. Suarez won the Xfinity Championship last year. We've seen Bubba Wallace have good runs this year. I want to see him in better equipment and see how competitive he can be. But the talent is there. He's won some races in the truck. They've been very very competitive in the Xfinity series. So I like the landscape of where we are from a talent standpoint on the driver's side of things.
Probably one of the first times that NASCAR could say their fan base could have the possibility of being very culturally diverse.
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, it's a traditional Southern white sport.
Moonshine run.
Yeah, it was moonshine run. You know, there's a part of that dynamic, but I think NASCAR, to its credit, has really worked on trying to gain some diversity, not only in that side of it, but you're seeing it now more on pit row with some college athletes and some things being involved there. And now there was a time Randy Moss was involved in the sport owning a truck. Brad Doherty has been involved. So I think that is a push. And I think it's a wise push, because you want to be as diverse as possible to make your sport as appealing to as many people as you can. And it's important, because in this day and age, there's a lot of competition out there, and you've got to be able to find the best way to draw the most fans in. And NASCAR needs a surge of new, young fans.
Absolutely. All right, so for you older fans, I just wanted to let you know this. I did find this scrolling across my Twitter feed, but Bill Elliott sells his home for $1.5 million. Get this. He is now $1 million Bill again.
Ba-bum-bum. Thanks.
Isn't that good?
He'll be back next week.
Yes, he's walking from the title company with, you know, driving in his car with dollar bills falling all over him like he was at Darlington when he won the Winston Million. All right, when we come back, we will talk about the Monster Energy Series point standings. And hear what some drivers think about going to Sonoma. We'll be back in just a second.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio, cooled by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems, 101.3 The Buzz. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day.
Or maybe on the TuneIn app.
Maybe on the TuneIn app. Who knows if a TuneIn app's working or not. But 101.3 is, we know that. So, breaking down Michigan, talking about Kyle Larson, it's time now to get into the Monster Energy Series point standings after Michigan going into Sonoma, which could make it change a lot by putting somebody in the playoffs that might not otherwise have the chance to get in the playoffs. So Monster Energy Series point standings are brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. Listen, she's got the house of the week. We need to get this. Well, we can't sponsor that. She sponsors it, right? So it's 127.
Right. This spot is already sponsored.
127.
Jamie, thanks.
Bellevue Drive in Cleveland. That's a three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,392 square feet. Get this price, $124.9. 127, Bellevue Drive. That's in Cleveland. Three-bed, two-bath, 1,392 on the square footage at $124.9. Give her a call, 473-9545. Or 650-9429. One other thing, if you're looking to sell your house, please call her. As you know, inventory is low in Cleveland, Tennessee. Scott, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup standings after the 49th annual Firekeepers Casino 400. I can't believe they've been running out there 49 years. Going on time. Kyle Larson Back on top is your leader. He has a 5-point lead over Martin Truex, but Truex does have those 20 playoff points, so those are going to be important. Kyle Busch, without a win, sits in third. Kevin Harvick, fourth. Chase Elliott, fifth. Brad Keselowski, sixth. Jamie McMurray, seventh. Jimmy Johnson, one of your 16 or 17.
Boom confetti.
Boom confetti that Jamie pulls for every week, half the field, as we like to term it around here. Sitting eighth, Denny Hamlin, ninth. Joey Logano, 10th. Looking at your 10 through 16, Joey Logano, Matt Kenseth, Clint Bowyer, Ryan Blaney, Kurt Busch, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and Eric Jones is in 16th. That is your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series standings.
Brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. House of the Week. If you're in the market to buy a house, 127 Bellevue Drive in Cleveland, Tennessee. 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,392 square feet. $124,900. Great price for that big of a house. Give Stephanie a call, 473-9545, or her cell, 650-9429. Jason, yes. We go to Sonoma this week, and I think when Scott said 49th annual, I would like to think part of those 49 years were probably Riverside International Speedway, road course,
yes.
Whatever. So I remember Bill Elliott got his first win at Riverside. Tim Richmond ran well at Riverside, so Hendrick Motorsports. When you think about this this race, the pit strategy changes some because you have to almost go from the back. You have to work it backwards instead of working it forward.
Yeah, and we've seen that in some of the other races. It's like Pocono. You see them trying to work backwards, and it's interesting how it can all unfold. We've seen different strategies over the years, fuel mileage, this and that. And, it's a fun course to watch a race on. I really enjoy it. It's one of my favorites. I know Scott was talking one of his favorites. One of my top five tracks of the year, if not maybe top three, probably along with Talladega, Daytona, Bristol, and whatever, top four.
But it's something different. I think that's the thing.
It's
is
a break.
It,
yeah. It's a great break in the action for what you're normally doing. You can see you go around the big tricky triangle of Pocono, high speed Michigan. Now you go out west to this to Sonoma, and I think it's awesome.
And the segments are going to be broken up a little different because there's less laps because mm-hmm. the track itself is so long in distance, 25, 25, and 60. This will be the first road course that we will go to when we have the segments. So normally they would work that backwards from the total at the end, and then work it backwards from there. Do you think the segment racing at the road course is going to make it easier strategy-wise, or do you think it's going to be more difficult?
I think it's just going to be easy. I do. I mean, I look at it, these other tracks that we've gone to, the segment racing. I mean, I think it'll be a piece of cake for these guys.
And I know you've been down to the Masters, and you've seen the, and we're just not switching to golf, but just to make a point, but been down to the Masters and you watch it on TV mm-hmm. and it doesn't look as hilly, but you go down there and you're standing looking up at the fairway straight up. It's kind of the same way here at Sonoma because there's a lot of hills in this course, unlike other road courses.
Yeah, and you see that, and you've seen it over the years, Jamie. It's like, a guy running low on fuel, well, if he gets over the last hill, guess what? He's got it made. But how many times have you seen a guy run out of gas because he can't make it up that hill? So it's a fun course to watch. I said, I love it. I absolutely love it.
One of the things that it makes you do, and I know they've showed these in-car cameras for as long as they've had it as far as the shifting and stuff like that, you're really busy in the car. And they asked Austin Dillon what it was like to be pretty busy inside the race car.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of work there, and this pays off to be good to your tires early in the run there, and because of all the fall off. I mean, it's probably, truthfully, as far as track surfaces go, there in Atlanta are probably the closest two. And I've been working a lot, simulators and stuff, to get better at road courses. And so I'm looking forward to the opportunity of Sonoma and trying to make one of our best road course runs there coming up.
I went to see the movie Cars 3 last night, and it was all about a lot of the new cars and the simulators and stuff. And these simulators now, you're hearing more about them, due to Twitter and the drivers being able to interact with the fans. But they have simulators for every track, and it seems like that's what a lot of the drivers are doing now.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at Dale Jr.'s Twitter feed a couple weeks ago. He was talking about the simulator. Somebody asked him, say, hey, can you tweet a picture of it? They wouldn't want me to do any of that stuff. And they showed Jeff Gordon in the simulator.
Right, that's what I was going to say. They showed Gordon in the
Yeah,
in the
so everybody saw everything that was going on there. So, yeah, I mean, you look at it. And we talked about how the technology of the sport has evolved. I mean, you can go out there and set that thing up for any track. You tell them, the crew chiefs, what's going on, what's happening out there. And I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And so earlier we were talking about Watkins Glen being the other road course. And we may have done this off air as the comparison if we liked which one or the other. They asked A.J. Allmendinger how Sonoma compared to Watkins Glen, and here's what he said.
It's for sure very different. Tires, big time, and especially now Watkins Glen after repaving. Tires at Sonoma are critical. It's so easy to burn the rear tires up. You know, I think it's a completely different racetrack. It's always interesting to see the people that are good at Sonoma, and if they can carry over to Watkins Glen. I think you got your guys that are good at both places. You have certain guys that just have Sonoma down. You know, it's kind of like a short track to a certain degree. But it's all about conserving rear tires, trying to not overdrive the car there. It's really easy to do. Same deal, track position's critical there, but strategy really plays out when the yellows fall. But, you know, it's a challenge. It's one of those racetracks that's kind of broken our hearts a little bit. Self-induced at times, for sure. But, you know, we've had speed there. We've qualified on the pole, but we haven't had a good finish there. Since I've been here at the race team. So, you know, last year I thought we had a chance to win, lost a tire on pit road, and had to start at the back and cost us a chance to go win the race. So we got to clean up our mistakes. We got to make sure that we're on point. But, yeah, trying to conserve rear tires. If you can do that, you have a great shot to win the race.
Almost sound like story time with A.J. Allmendinger there with, you know.
Is that going to be a new segment on here?
We need to.
Story time with the Dinger.
You know, a lot of things he said are kind of making me rethink maybe who I picked for.
I was going to say.
I was feeling pretty confident about him.
Never finished real good here.
This ran real well, but we've finished terrible.
We stink. I mean, we lost a tire last year, and we just never had the speed since I've been with this team.
Listen, as hot as you've been on picks this year, if I was him, I would feel uber confident.
Well, that is a great point, Scott. But I didn't put him in my power rankings. I mean, that's the only thing.
He's only a week away from being in.
That's true. All right, so one last interview from Kyle Larson. They asked him, after his win at Michigan, what he thought about returning home to Sonoma and what kind of plans he had to enjoy the weekend.
I'm excited about Sonoma. I grew up, you know, about an hour and a half from there in Elk Grove, California. So it's my home race. I'm going to race. I was supposed to race tonight in a sprint car, but it got canceled in Ohio. But I'm going to race tomorrow and Tuesday in the sprint car, and then fly out to Sonoma on Wednesday is the plan right now, unless they rescheduled Waynesfield for Wednesday. But we're going to go out there and kind of spend a couple days as vacation, do a little wine tasting, probably go hang out at Rico's property one day and just relax and have a good time. Sonoma is always one of the most.
Wonder if we can go to Rico's
Uncle
property.
Rico?
Uncle Rico.
Yeah. Hey, just going to hang out and have a good time. Turn it into vacation.
Pro, you know?
Vacation.
Uncle Rio. So that guy has won, if you hadn't been following on Twitter, that guy's won some races this week. I think he's won.
Well, he's been red hot. Listen, you put him in one of those midget cars or in a dirt car, he's the man can drive.
He's
got a chance. In that regard, he reminds me a lot of Tony Stewart, where mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what vehicle's in. You put him in something, he's going to give himself a chance to win.
Let's hope he don't run over anybody and kill
him. Let's not go there.
Yeah, you should have heard Tony Stewart on the scanner this past weekend talking to Clint Bowyer. There was I hope they've monitored that or don't put that in as evidence in his
He wasn't about to fight anybody in the stands.
He was
this
ready
time,
to
was
roll,
he?
Not in the stands, but he was ready to roll with a couple of drivers. I can tell you that now. All right, when we come back, we'll find out who we think are hot in our power rankings and also our picks to win. We'll be right back after this.
We'll be back faster than a Jimmy Johnson pit stop. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, Racing Talk Radio, cooled by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems, 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb. Most important time of the show, at least for me, because mine are usually on
right on target. Dead on is what is actually what I was going to say. They were dead on
target. So talk about Sonoma. Make sure you tune in to FS1 at 3 o'clock, or PRN will be covering it on 101.3 at 3 as well. Again, reminder, 3 segments, 25, right. 25 and 60. Go ahead.
I was busy printing off stuff so that we didn't have a completely dead segment there. Did we talk about the segments? I thought it was kind of weird that we go 25, 25, and then a full 60 run there at the end. So kind of an odd setup I didn't know if they wanted. I wonder if they set the stage lengths to offset some of the strategy we usually see with this race, from running it backwards, and having people pit on lap 3 or whatever. I'm just wondering if that's how all that worked.
Well, we did discuss that. Partly
briefly, yeah. I mean, we did. We were filling some time there while we were getting some
material. We were our producer.
Yeah.
So, but the one thing that we talked about and asked and asked Jason is, would it be easier, now that the segments are out there, because this is the first road course race that we've had segments? Would it be easier strategy wise, or is it going to make it more difficult? So, to your point, I don't know that we'll know that until after
right,
the race.
I think to me, this is really one of those. I mean, obviously, we only have 2 on the course. Next year, we're moving to 3 road courses. Hopefully, at some point, I would love to see Road America added to it. It's a great race anyway. It's and I know Jason, it's one of his favorite races. Yeah. It's definitely one of my favorite races of the year, because there's more beating and banging in this than we see at any short track all year long. So they're going to be, battling. It's not, it is follow the leader, because there is one lane. So they have to move people to get moving forward. So it's hard to pass, but it's a totally different style of racing. But I am interested to see how the stage affects this race, because usually this race, Pocono, some of those races are really kind of dependent upon, starting at, hey, this is how much fuel we need to get to the end, so we're going to start pitting here. It may be that you can do that if you're trying to win, but it may negatively affect your positioning in terms of stage points. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. I'm pretty intrigued.
Don't you think that it would be more on tires at this point, because you could still do the same thing that you would normally do, and when everybody goes into pit, during the end of a segment, if you could stay out there on your fuel mileage while everybody else is getting that and going, I wonder if that would play a role, and maybe you have to come in at each segment and get gas just to keep up with the field, or go off cycle and just treat it as a normal pit stop cycle that you would be going. I wonder if that'll happen.
I think you're going to see cars pitting all the time out there. I mean, you see it out there, pitting early. I think it's going to be interesting to see what the team strategies are.
Absolutely. So some of the best finishers out there, Jason and I were talking about this, and Scott were talking about before the show, that we couldn't believe, but Clint Bowyer actually is one of the top 3 in finishes at Sonoma with an average of 11.5. And then Ryan Newman, 12.3.
Both, actually, 1 and 2 both really kind of surprised me, because I know Newman's had I can remember him having good runs. I don't know if he's got any wins, and I think Bowyer has a couple wins.
Yeah, he's got one out there when he was driving 07.
Right. So that surprised me. Jimmy Johnson's name being on that list, that didn't surprise me anywhere. But a real surprise that those two particular guys, you don't necessarily associate road course when you think of those two drivers.
Yeah, especially in somebody you would associate. Kurt Busch has always been pretty good out there. Kevin Harvick, you'd never see him really run well at road courses. On down the list, it's funny, Elliott Sadler in the top 7 of best finishers at a road course, and then Michael Waltrip.
Now, take it for what it's worth. I think the last 3 races at Sonoma, I think Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished an average better than any other driver.
Yeah, he was trying to chase down Carl Edwards a couple of years ago.
Right, yeah, which is shocking, because if there was one race, he hates the turning right thing. That's not his thing. He doesn't like to be able to do that.
He
so.
Doesn't like turning right, and he always takes.
So this will probably be the week that they win.
Yeah. Nobody's picking.
No.
All right, so let's get into our power rankings. All right, so for me, I've got the 42 of Kyle Larson. Now I finally realized, how can you not put him number 1? He has done well and proved a point to me Sunday that he's here to stay. The 48 of Jimmy Johnson is number 2. Rowdy, Kyle Busch, number three. I put in Jamie McMurray, number four, ahead of the 78. Now, maybe I could have reversed those a little bit, going to the rules that you guys
or like last week when you didn't even have the 78 in your power rankings at all.
Oh, he was just leading, snuck in this week.
And he was just and he was leading the point standings. He has the most stage wins, and he has two wins.
He's impressing me enough to get into number five. He keeps running.
Yeah,
he'll be doing well.
Backdoor power rankings move there by Martin Truex Jr.
Yes, but Jamie McMurray, I think, is somebody that I've left out that I should have brought in because of the way he's been running consistent. I think he's 7 in points right now, which means without a win, he's been running up front to be so consistent. And then the 78 of Martin Truex, and I'll give you my pick to win in just a second, Jason Hildebrand.
Yeah, I'm actually my power rankings did not change one bit from last week.
I noticed that. As the guy that has to compile the list of all that stuff, I noticed that. That was good job on your part.
I mean, I think that, you know, you look at Kyle Larson, I think he's the best out there. And it's debatable between him and Truex at this point, in my opinion. I think they're, you know, it's a wash on who's performing better. I think both are performing great, though. So Truex second. You got Jimmy Johnson third, Kevin Harvick fourth, and Kyle Busch fifth.
You know, in the Sean Whitfield method of doing the power rankings, he normally goes, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the point standings. Looks like, Scott, you might have made a little bit of a change as far as your number one and number two.
Yeah, I mean, I think I juggled a little bit. I think the top three cars are the top three cars. I think you could, you know, Johnson is points-wise is not quite. I think he's, what, 7th or 8th in points. Mm-hmm. That really doesn't matter. You know, he's got 3 wins, so you could put him in that mix. But I have Martin Truex Jr. leading most stage wins. He's got 2 wins, could have 2 or 3 more wins. I think he's right there. Larson, those two, as we talked earlier, points-wise have separated themselves from the rest of the field, so I think those two are there. And then you got Jimmy Johnson and his 3 wins. So I think those three cars are really kind of head and shoulders. Kevin Harvick done a terrific job. The wins are going to come. He's going to win. So he's taking another playoff spot. At some point, they're going to win another race because they have kind of been, they've been a lot more consistent in what they're doing the last 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. And then Kyle Busch. I think those are the top 5 drivers in the sport right now. And it's hard to argue against them. Those guys are all going to be around late in this playoff run.
Out of Matt Kenseth, Clint Bowyer, Chase Elliott, and Kevin Harvick, which one do you think would be left out if we had 15 winners? 16 winners.
Give me the names again one more time. Right, so I'm going to actually pay attention this time.
Clint Bowyer, Matt Kenseth, Chase Elliott, or Kevin Harvick.
Kenseth.
I would have never thought that would be the case, but I think he is the most of those 4 cars. He's the most inconsistent. He's shown the least speed, been the least competitive.
And taking into account, well, you said 16 drivers, so
right. What I meant was if there were 15 winners, so stating 3 of those 4 won, who would be the one that didn't?
Well, I'm going with Elliott. Because his points position right now, 5th.
So Chase Elliott, you think would be out?
He'd be the last man in.
Last man in.
If he had 15 drivers.
Who would be out?
Kenseth.
Yeah, and I think it's weird to say that. And, you know, Denny Hamlin has been quietly running well.
No, I think, you know, the Hamlin was my pick last week. I think he ended up 3rd or something this week. He had a good week. I those two cars, you're talking about Busch, Kyle Busch, and him have kind of been trending one direction. Where Kenseth has just been kind of – Suarez is just going to have – this is just a learning year, so whatever happens to that car. But Kenseth has just kind of – we've not seen that – I've not seen that real competitive car 2, 3 weeks in a row. We see runs. We see sections of runs. We see, you know, green flag runs and sections where they look good. But then, you know, they can't put it all together, and there's just not enough consistency in that car. So that's I'm a bit concerned about Matt Kenseth moving forward in this playoff run.
All right, 3 drivers that we're not concerned about are the 3 drivers that we picked to win. So, told you earlier that I didn't like, Allmendinger's comments, but I think I'm still going to go with him. He runs really good at the other Watkins Glen, but he doesn't seem to run too well at Sonoma. But I think he'll put it together this week, and we'll see the 47 maybe in the playoffs if there's not 16 other drivers that win as well. So I'm going to go with AJ Allmendinger.
And one of the reasons on your question there, Jamie, you were asking which driver would be out. I didn't pick Clint Bowyer because I'm picking him to win this week. He's going to be one of the 16.
Clint Bowyer.
I thought that was bold till I saw the top 10 list and
third best finish of all time average.
He's legit and how woo.
Hildebrand had some time at work today.
They'd have to call some extra security in if Clint Bowyer wins that thing, because there'll be a big time party there in Sonoma.
Oh yeah,
lots of wine drinking. I went with Kyle Busch. At some point in time, they won there back a couple years ago after he came off the injury. That was their win that kind of cemented them in to the chase, and then they had to get into the top 30 points, and they blew that out of the water. So I like the direction he's going. He's being competitive. Again, we're seeing him run top two, three, four each and every week. This is the week that Rowdy, your boy, one of your mini boys, breaks through.
I appreciate you doing that. If you don't mind, eat some M&Ms on Sunday, and it'll work too. All right. They don't call it the fastest hour in radio for nothing. It's kind of flown by. Make sure you tune in next week. We'll break down Sonoma. Make sure you watch Sonoma this weekend on Sunday. You can also listen to it on 101.3 with our partners at PRN. Great show, guys. We'll see you guys next week. This is Racing Talk Radio, cooled by Hiwassee Chase Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
This has been Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. Join Jamie Collins, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.